Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. So Jesus is at the temple and he's just watching people give their contributions to the temple. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting two mites in there. I don't know what a mite is, but I know that it's very, very little money. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has cast in more than all of them." So even though she cast in two mites, she put in more than any of them because she gave 100% of what she had. Whereas most of those other people were probably tithing because they were still under the law of Moses. They were probably tithing, which means they were only giving 10%. She gave 100%. They were only giving 10%. "For all these have cast into the offerings of God out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has cast in all the livelihood that she had. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts, he said, 'As for these things that you see, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" He's going to tell them about the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. "And they asked him, saying, 'Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?' And he said, 'Be careful that you are not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Therefore, do not go after them.'" There's going to be people say, "Oh, judgment day is almost here, and I am the Christ, or there's the Christ over there." Don't believe them. "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come right away. The destruction of Jerusalem, it is not coming just yet." Now, we have to remember the context here. This is in about 33 AD. This is his disciples asking him these questions. And we know that the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem happened in AD 70. "Then he said to them, 'Nation shall rise against nation.'" So he's giving them, these are going to be all the signs you will see. When you see all these signs, know that the Romans are coming to destroy Jerusalem. "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there shall be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Now you hear people all the time say, you know, "Oh, this terrible tragedy happened. It's the sign of the end of times." No, it's not. There will be no signs for the end of time. What he's talking about here is these are the signs you will see before the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70. Okay, we're now in AD 2024. So this happened a long time ago. "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you." So again, he's talking to his disciples. You're going to suffer persecution, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So disciples, my apostles, you're going to be persecuted. Some of you are going to be tortured. You're going to be in prison. You're going to be killed. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony." This is an opportunity for you to teach and preach the gospel of Christ. "Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you shall answer." Don't worry about preparing a sermon or anything. Now remember, he's not talking to us today. He's talking to his apostles back here. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries shall not be able to contradict or resist." He's talking about the Holy Spirit or the Comforter. He's promised them that. "When I ascend back into heaven, I will give you the Comforter or the Holy Spirit. He will be with you and he will guide you into all truth. He will help you in a miraculous way. He will help you know what to say." He's not talking to us today. "And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they shall cause some of you to be put to death." Now, these kind of things could still happen to Christians today and do happen to Christians today. Christians still are persecuted. Some are imprisoned. Some are killed. Some are rejected by their families. So some of this does apply to us today. But what he's talking about specifically is in the first century. And ye shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Because you're a Christian, you're going to be hated. But not a hair of your head shall perish. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean physical death, because he just told them some of you are going to be killed. In your patience, you possess your soul. So he's talking about their spiritual lives. You will be saved spiritually. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, that's the Roman armies, and that's going to be in AD 70, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of it depart out. Do not let those who are in the countries enter into it. When you see all these signs, and especially when you see the Roman armies coming towards Jerusalem, run. Get out. And don't let any other Christians come into the city. Get out of the city. I am telling you to do this, because it's going to be bad. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. Now, this is in part God's punishment on the Jews for being disobedient. But woe to those who are with child, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath on this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. This is going to be bad, he's saying. Now, there's going to be a lot of those in Jerusalem that are going to be killed. If they're not killed, they're going to be captured and kept prisoners by other nations. And Jerusalem shall be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And if you're interested in really getting some more details about that, you can always read Josephus. He was a first century Jewish historian, so he had firsthand knowledge of this stuff. And so he would have a lot more details than what the Bible gives. Now, Josephus was not a Christian. As a matter of fact, he was against Christianity. So he would be, I guess, what you consider a hostile witness. So whatever he says, you would know he's not saying it for Christianity's sake. So that's something to keep in mind. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from them for fear, and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I think that this is figures of speech. We saw these same figures of speech in Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. You know, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shine, the stars will fall from heaven. I mean, obviously those things didn't literally happen. These are figures of speech indicating that Jerusalem is a nation doomed. This is going to be the end of Judaism. This is the absolute end of Judaism. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Again, we have to remember in this context, he's not talking about his second coming. It may seem like that in this verse. But he's not talking about his second coming. So I think when he says, then you shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, I think what he's saying is, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of this happening. This is basically God's punishment on the Jews for their disobedience. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draws near. Now, that's going to be only for faithful Christians. Whether they're Jews or Gentiles, doesn't matter at that point. Christians. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now near at hand. Again, showing signs. When you see the trees blooming, you know that summer is near. Why? Because you see the signs of summer coming. So you likewise, when you see these things come to pass, all these signs that I just told you about, know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Now, normally, kingdom of God refers to the church. Well, in AD 70, the church would be around for almost 40 years. So I don't think he means the church, because I think he's still talking about AD 70. I'm not entirely sure why he uses the phrase know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Because again, this is all going to happen in AD 70. The church was established in AD 30. So the church would have already been around for 40 years. So, you know, if anyone has any ideas about that exact phraseology, just let me know. Truly, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. So again, this is probably around AD 30. I think I said 33 earlier, but this is around AD 30 when Jesus is making this prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem. It actually happens in AD 70, so that's 40 years from now. So this generation will still be around when this happens. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And be careful, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with overindulgence and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day comes on you unexpectedly. Don't get caught up in worldly living, thinking that, oh, you know, it's not going to happen. I don't see the Roman armies coming. So I'm just going to keep living my life like I want to, and I'm not going to worry about it. Well, you need to. You need to be careful. You need to be watchful. For it shall come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, pay attention to what I told you. When you see all these signs, especially when you see the Roman armies coming towards Jerusalem, get out, run to the mountains, go hide in the mountains. And if you will be careful and you be faithful and don't forget what I am telling you right now, you will escape and you will be able to stand before the Son of Man. You will survive this if you pay attention to what I'm saying and do what I say. Now, I've heard, I haven't verified this, but I've heard that, and maybe it was Josephus, said that there wasn't a single Christian in Jerusalem that was killed. Now, I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about Christians. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it would be a fascinating thing if that were true. And it should be true. Because if you're a faithful Christian and you're listening to God's, or to Jesus' prophecy right here, what are you going to do when you see the Roman armies coming towards Jerusalem? Oh yeah, Jesus told us about this. Let's get out of here. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and remained on the mountain that is called the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. So he is still very popular with the people. And that is Luke chapter 21.